We are currently going through the series, The Blessed. And today, it is my privilege to speak on the title, The Mourners. The Mourners. And our main text is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. But if you don't, you can follow. So Matthew chapter 5, I'd like to read verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Like I always like to do, I like to give a bit of context when I have the privilege and the opportunity to teach, because it helps to understand and it gives a better picture of the scripture. And so to enable me to do that today, we'll be going back to the book of Matthew chapter 4. So it gives us a picture of where Jesus was, what he was doing, basically his mindset, what was uppermost in his mind when he made that statement. So I'm going to take us back to Matthew chapter 4, and I will read from verse 23. So Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering from severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Verse 25 says, large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Now, that's the background. So you see with me here what was happening before now. Jesus has been doing a lot of healing. And so the news had gone round. And as you can imagine, people were flooding in, wanting healing from Jesus. Now, Matthew 5 said, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, and then we went straight to that scripture, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Now, to my understanding, if you follow the scripture, which we have just read as a background to this text this morning, nowhere there did it mention that Jesus raised any dead person. We know there are scriptures, the account in the Bible of Jesus raising the dead. The most popular one, I'm sure we can remember, the story of Lazarus. But in this particular context, Jesus did not raise any dead person. It was never mentioned there that anybody died. Of all the people that were brought to him, they had several sicknesses, several diseases, several ailments, pain, sorrow, distress, you can name it, but not one dead. So that suggests to me that what Jesus was talking about here, when he said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted, he wasn't talking about literal mourning. Jesus was saying something far, far, far greater than those who mourn literally because of the death of a loved one. Not to undermine the death of a loved one, because if you have ever experienced the death of a loved one, it's not an interesting experience. I have been in that situation several times. When a loved one passes on, the people they leave behind, they are inconsolable. But it is my prayer this morning that as many people in that situation, that God will give you the grace. And God will be merciful. And he will help you to find that closure that you so desperately need. And which will help you for the rest of your journey. But you see, what Jesus is talking about here in this context of the scripture is more than that. The Bible says, when he saw the crowd, he moved away to the mountainside and he sat down, and there his disciples came to him and he began to teach them. Jesus saw the need to correct some things. And among the things he taught them was this. He said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Jesus saw in the crowd of people that were coming to him, and he asked himself a question. Why are these people coming to me? Why are these people coming to Jesus? But of course, we all know. They were coming to him for miracles. Miracles. Which is not different from what's happening in the church today. Miracles, miracles, miracles. You go to America, it's miracles. You go to Africa, it's miracles. You lay your hands on me, if I don't fall, you don't have the power. If I'm preaching, if I'm not sweating, I don't have the power. As a pastor, if I'm not driving Rolls Royce, God is not with me. If I'm not living in a mansion, I'm just playing games. That is the problem. It says, like will be got like. And so people who sit under the ministries of such people, when eventually they become pastors, what do you expect to happen? They will see it that one of the signs of their success as a pastor and a successful ministry is to drive a Rolls Royce or live in a mansion. But brothers and sisters, that's not what God is calling us to do. And that's not the place he's calling us to go to. And that's what Jesus saw. And Jesus said, no, this cannot be right. These people are not coming to me because of who I am. They're not coming to me because of, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6. It says, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why? Two things. First of all, he said, because he who must come to God must believe that, first of all, he exists. And then number two, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, if you look, and Jesus did not see either of these two in the midst of the crowds that came to him. They were not coming to him. They were not seeking him diligently. They were coming for miracles. They were coming for miracles. Jesus wants a group of people who will seek him with the same tenacity, seek him with the same passion, determination to find him. People who will become sick and tired. People who will feel sorrow and pained because of what is happening in the world. Injustice against mankind. wickedness against mankind. People who will see God and bow to the sovereignty of God. People who will hate sin with every passion. People who will submit to the lordship and leadership of Christ. When Jesus looked in the crowd of those people that were coming to him, he did not see that. He did not see that. Instead, what he saw was a group of people coming to him for miracles. Miracles upon miracles. What I call users. People with this, what you call magician mentality. You come to me, I will give you this. No. It should be all about the relationship first. And I thank God for the word that came during the worship. I thank God for the scripture we read. As we listen to God this morning, where am I? Where are you? In terms of relationship with God. Have we come to that place where we are sickened by what we see and hear around us? Sin against God. Sin against God. How we treat fellow human beings. Wickedness. People are... It is terrible. In some countries, the leaders just don't want to know how the ordinary citizens are faring. They are not interested. They are just there, just amassing onto themselves wealth for themselves and their families. And how much money can you spend in this lifetime? How many bedrooms can you sleep at the same time? Sleep in at the same time. If you eat too much now, it becomes poison. If you eat too much good food, if you're eating the food you're eating is very good, it becomes poisonous to your system. You see, brothers and sisters, Jesus is calling and looking for mourners. Mourners. People who will despise sin. People who will vehemently reject disobedience against God. People who will stand and look at their fellow human being and stand for injustice against him, stand against injustice against their fellow human beings. People who will stop at nothing to get rid of wickedness. And at the end of the day, if you look at all of this, the picture is, if you do something against me, or if I do something against you, ultimately I am doing something against God. Because the Bible tells us, it says, love thy neighbors. Love your neighbor as yourself. So if you don't love your neighbor, if you hate your neighbor, if you display wickedness towards your neighbor, you are doing it towards God. So in the long run, all these things we're talking about is against one person. And that's God. And it is only God who can bring comfort. It is only God who can raise these people that are willing to commit themselves with passion to seek for justice, to stand in the place of prayers, to stand in the place of obedience to God, in order to eradicate injustice and to move the kingdom of God forward by preaching the word of God. That's the only solution to the problems we have. I don't care what the world system is whatever they are proposing. They can go from A to B, can go from C to D. You can hold a conference in Russia today, tomorrow in Africa, tomorrow in America. At the end of the day, it's all waste of time. Until we come back to Jesus, until we return to him, the Bible tells us that at the name of Jesus Christ, at the name of Jesus Christ, he didn't say at the policies of any government. No, he says at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow. And the truth is, until every knee begins to bow at the name of Jesus, I'm sorry, it's a waste of time. We're just going to be going in the circle. It's a waste of time. Brothers and sisters, I urge you this morning, like Jesus said, he said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. There is a blessing in the place of we wanting to seek God with passion. I mean, the only way I can explain this, when somebody dies, just imagine the sorrow. The dictionary tells us the definition of mourning is an expression of sorrow by reason of the death of somebody. So in some cultures, they wail. You will see people wanting to just, you know, harm themselves. There was a particular story of somebody who lost a loved one, and this woman just would not let off. People have been trying to encourage and counsel and counsel and counsel. They hold her, she will run. People, it happens. So on the day that this person was to be laid to rest, on the graveside, this woman was, let me go. Okay, leave her, let her go. So they left her. They left this woman, let her go. She ran back from instead of falling into the grave, she ran back. That just sometimes tells you how people, the length to which people will go to express themselves. That sorrow, that grief, that passion, the pain. So if we can seek God with that sort of passion, you know, that would make you feel like you're mourning against the injustice that is upon the face of the earth, mourning against sin against God, mourning against disobedience against God, to the extent that it makes you feel like you're going to be sick. And God said, those group of people, they shall be rewarded. They shall be comforted. They shall be comforted. And since this is against one and only one person, and it is only that person that can bring the solution, I'd like us to read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'd like to read from verse 3. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. He says it all there. Who comforts us in all troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Because remember, it is only God that can comfort us. Only God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. You see, I love this. I love this. Our suffering, the pain we go through, when we express and associate, or rather dissociate ourselves from anything to do with sin against God, disobedient to God, and wickedness and injustice, God sees and He brings us to the place of comfort. Like I said, it's only Him that can comfort us. We cannot find comfort anywhere else. Nowhere else can we find comfort. Well, let's remember, we're talking about, this is a totally different context. God is faithful. He is the same yesterday. He is the same today. He will never change. He will never change. There is a miracle which every human being who has had the privilege of living upon this earth must experience before they leave this earth. Because if they do not experience that miracle, they haven't lived, I'm sorry to say. And that miracle, we sang about it a few minutes ago. And that miracle is the miracle of Christ in me. Christ in you. That is the greatest miracle. And that was a miracle. Jesus saw that these crowds that came to Him did not have in mind, but rather they were focused on physical things. And that Jesus departed from that, He's encouraging us this morning. Let our focus not be on those physical things. If before now, I have nothing against physical things, by the way, but I'm talking about our focus. Bible says we should remember the Lord our God, for He it is who gives us the power to get wealth. So He gives you the power. But that's not to say we then allow those things that God gives to us to now become our primary focus. Because the moment those things go over and they become our primary focus and Jesus becomes our secondary focus, forget it. Completely missed it. Completely missed it. Look at what's happening in different parts of the world. Look at the earthquake in Haiti. Just a few seconds, or rather a few minutes, when an earthquake happens. Few minutes. I was reading one of my daughter's schoolwork. When there is a shifting in the tectonic plates, just a little movement, different types of movement, when there is a destructive movement of the tectonic plates, it leaves us with devastating effects. We're talking entire continents can be moved, can shift. So you find people who've built their lives on things that are above God, we're talking within seconds, within minutes, it can be wiped out. That's why we must put our focus on God. And obey Him and do the things He wants us to do. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. As I begin to round up, I'd like us to read from the book of Philippians, chapter 4. Remember, we are talking about the mourners, those who mourn. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, here, the writer of this letter has given us the vehicle how to go to God when we feel this way about the things that are happening in the world, the sin against God, you name it. We should go to God in pain and seek God. We read that scripture this morning. I did not discuss with Ade. God bless you, Ade. I don't think I've seen Ade for about 2 months. It says, do not be anxious about anything. But brothers and sisters, the only way out of this is by prayer and supplication. And we're not going to leave it there. It is okay to pray. Go to God and let's cry out our hearts to God. We pray against sin, we pray against wickedness, pray against injustice. I tell you, it's not easy. It's not easy when somebody does something wicked to you. I have been a recipient of wickedness, of human wickedness. I'm a human being. I had three options. One, I take care of this guy myself. Please laugh. We are allowed to. But for me, that's not an option. Because I do not have the grace to do that. Second option, one of my neighbors said, look, just give me the permission, I'll go and deal with this guy. But I looked at it again. It all comes down to me. What's my third option? Just put him in the hands of God, which is what I did. And he's still there. Does it come up sometimes? Yes, it does. Do I still remember it? Yes, it does. I still do. Have I forgiven that person? Yes, I have. Does it mean I should completely not remember again? No. I'm a human being. It still comes on once in a while. But there are other people on earth that have experienced wickedness of a higher order. So all these things, God sees all these things. And God wants us to address these things. God wants us to cry to him, to deal with this thing with the same passion. Like somebody who is mourning. And then we leave the solution, leave the results to God. And so the vehicle is by prayer. By prayer. We pray. We pray. We pray. We pray, we see results. We give thanks to God. We pray. We don't see the results we are anticipating to see. Doesn't mean God hasn't answered. What do? We give thanks to him. We pray and we pray, we pray. We keep on praying until two things happen. Until the day Jesus comes and takes us to go with him, or until the day we are committed to Mother Earth. That's the only time we should stop praying. We pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. That's the way we deal with wickedness. That's the way we deal with sin against God. That's the way we deal with injustice. That's the way we deal with anything that wants to stand in the way of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And as we pray, brothers and sisters, we act. And the way we act is by going out there and speak to people. Go out there and preach the gospel. tell people about the love of God. We challenge injustice, we challenge wickedness, we challenge anything to do sinful. About 2 weeks ago, I was preparing to go on a journey. As soon as a car picked me from my house, we got on the motorway, road was nice and clear. I started talking to this man, I started preaching to this man, telling him about Jesus, you know, what we normally do, talking about Christ. So preach and talk and talk and talk and talk. All of a sudden, from nowhere, we ran into this massive traffic, serious traffic. I looked at the time. There was no way I would catch my flight. No way. Okay, I knew. Because before commencing on the trip, I prayed and God spoke to me. Two things that was to happen when I get to my destination. So I knew God wanted me to travel. So I looked at the traffic. The driver that was taking me down, you could see he was panicking and trying to go from one lane to another. I said, God, I just prayed. I said, Lord, I know you want me to go on this journey. But if for some reasons you have changed your mind, I have a home and I have a bed where I sleep on. I'll be happy to go back home and I give you thanks. As soon as I prayed that prayer, you'll see traffic. I cannot explain to you what happened. From nowhere. I honestly, before I knew it, I was at the airport. And to confirm it, when I got to my destination, two things the Lord showed me here before I left. Two things. They happened. So what am I trying to say, brothers and sisters? We pray. We pray and pray and pray and pray and keep praying. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.